Once again, it is a delight, I believe, for us to be here this morning, that we have a portion of health that we enjoy, and that we can meet in this place where we can together worship God, sing songs of praise unto Him, go to Him in prayer, partake of these emblems that represent this morning the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to give of our means. In the portion of the time that I have this morning, I would like to turn your attention to what is written in 1 Kings chapter 12. Again, I've tried to write this. I don't know if you'll be able to read it, but I'm going to say everything that's up here, so we just kind of follow along. In 1 Kings chapter 12, in verses 26 through 33, we'll be reading that in just a few moments. We're going to talk about what I have titled The Lure of the Easy Way. The easy way of doing things when it comes to religion, our worship to God. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and 11, we can read there of the concluding years of the life of Solomon, of the things that he did, of the enemies that he had, of his wives, and also of their idolatry, and how that through their influence that the nation of Israel was also led toward idolatry and offering worship unto gods of other nations. We also read of his death. We can also read in those two chapters of Rehoboam, his son, that how he became king in the place of his father. And as Rehoboam began to reign there in Israel, we find that the people came unto him and asked him to lighten the burden just a little bit. Because of all of the building that Solomon did, he had to tax the people rather heavily to pay for the temple and the buildings and the construction that he did during his lifetime. There was a great burden then that was placed upon the children of Israel, and as Rehoboam began to reign, then they wanted to ask him to lighten that just a little bit. But instead of listening to the advice of the elders, as they said that this is what he should do, he then listened to those who were younger, and he began to make greater the burdens upon the children of Israel than even his father did. And as a result of this, as is according to the prophecy of God, the 10 northern tribes rebelled against him. And when they did, they made Jeroboam their king. And with the formation of this new nation, we find that Jeroboam in the very beginning realized that he was going to have problems and that he was going to have to find some solutions to those problems. I would imagine that he began to think especially concerning the way that the children of Israel were to worship God, because under the law of Moses, they were to go to the city of Jerusalem, which happened to be in the southern kingdom, that under the control of Rehoboam. They had to go there, and they had to offer sacrifices unto God. And he began to think to himself that if they do that, and they go back to the city of Jerusalem, then I'm going to lose favor in their sight. Their heart is going to be turned back unto the king of Judah. And we can read the solution to his problem. Beginning in verse 26 there of 1 Kings chapter 12. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Therefore the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt." And he set up one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines in the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judea, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, install the priests of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burnt incense. Now, whether or not Jeroboam's fears were grounded, were well-founded, is not certain. But he was not going to take any chances. He had begun to reign. He had those 10 tribes that he was king over, and he was not going to lose that position. He was not going to take any chances as to whether they were going to go back to the city of Jerusalem as the law of Moses had instructed them or not. He was going to give them a choice. He was going to offer them an option in their worship unto God, which God had not given unto the children of Israel. And we find in this, and what he did, that he was more concerned that the children of Israel were loyal to him than they were loyal unto God. He didn't care about God's command. He established a feast day in the 8th month. God said it was to be in the 7th month. But he got it pretty close to what God said. Satisfy the children of Israel. I can just have this mental picture of Jeroboam as he is perhaps walking around in his palace there and wondering what it is he is going to do. What am I going to do to make sure that these people do not turn on me, that they remain loyal to me? The law of Moses says they've got to go to Jerusalem. If they go to Jerusalem, I might lose them. What am I going to do? If that was what happened, then he came upon the most brilliant of all plans that has ever been devised. Jeroboam baited his trap for the people with one of the most alluring baits that there is, that Satan has to offer. And that is the lure of doing something the easy way. He said, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. That's too hard for you to do. God is demanding too much of you to go up to Jerusalem. So here's what I'm going to offer you. I'm going to give you an alternative. I'm going to make it easy for you. And you don't have to do these things." He provided them with a very easy religion. I believe, as we can read, the people were ripe for it. They were ready for it. They didn't want to go back to Jerusalem. And he offered this, and he gave them an alternative. It didn't matter to them that they were worshiping idols. Jeroboam said, "Well, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. Worship them." And he offered sacrifices. He gave them a false priesthood, not of the sons of Levi. And the people fell prey to this easy way. This easy way is a baited trap. And it is something that has been used by Satan down through the centuries. The easy way. How many people through the course of history have given in to this, have fallen for this? You know, we do it just about every day of our life in one way or another, in some form or another. I'm not talking about in our worship to God, but I'm talking about in other things. We want to do something the easy way. And our advertising people, Madison Avenue, has learned that people are going to fall for things if you can offer to them an effortless and easy way. How many of you have ever been on diets? I want you to raise your hand. Just, you know if you have. You ever been on a diet? Well, we know dieting is something. It's not easy. The only way you're going to lose weight is you're going to have to not eat food. But we are offered easy ways of losing weight, aren't we? We are told that you can eat anything you want to, and here you take this pill, and all that fat's going to be dissolved, and you don't have to do anything. It's very easy for you to do these things. Eat all you want. And you know, millions upon millions of people have fallen for this type of advertising, because it appeals to them. It's easy for them to do. And they're going to try. There's an easy way to physical fitness. We're all told that. Easy way for you to have the body of Arnold Schwarzenegger, whatever you might want. All you have to do is exercise 2 or 3 minutes every other week, you know, and these things, it'll just be so great. It's an easy way to do these things. And millions upon millions of people fall for it simply because they think it is easy. People have told them that. We hear from time to time as we want to buy something that you have easy monthly payments. I've never seen any. They advertise that. Monthly payments are not easy, but they will advertise them as such. You know, you don't have to pay any money down, and here they are, easy monthly payments. You only have to pay so much for the rest of your life, and you can have it. It's easy. There's instant breakfast. You know, all you have to do in 3 or 4 minutes, you can have a full course meal. There are those things that are easy to prepare foods. You know, we fall for it. You put that word easy in front of it, or you offer that this is effortless. You don't have to put any time into it. And millions upon millions of people are going to fall for that. Human nature hasn't changed since man was first created. It's still the same. And we want to do things the easy way. Now, don't get me wrong when we're talking about this, that I'm for doing everything the hard way. That if I've got a lawnmower and I've got a pair of scissors, that I'm going to take a pair of scissors and I'm going to cut my grass. If I've got a lawnmower, I'm going to use it because it's easier. I'm not saying that in everything that we should not seek the easy way, or we should seek the easy way. If it means less work with a quality job, then good. Let's do it. We want to find sometimes those shortcuts in doing the work that we have before us. But we fall for this easy way. We try this effortless path in almost every endeavor. You know, sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's good for us to find an easy, simple way to do something. But sometimes it can be disastrous. It can be disastrous for us as individuals and also for the society in which we live. Our prisons in this country are filled with people because they sought the easy way. They wanted to take money from someone else. They wanted to embezzle it. They didn't want to work for it as God has given us a work ethic. They didn't want to do that, and they were caught. In some instances, we find that the welfare lines of our country have been lengthened simply because people are looking for an easy way to do something. They don't want to work. So this has been a burden to us. It has wasted valuable time and talent and the potential that millions upon millions of people have had. And whatever we see in society, and we know this if we live any length of time at all, whatever you see in society, sooner or later you're going to see in church. You're going to see in religion. And the easy way in religion, more often than not, is going to lead to sin. And in this case, as we're talking about this morning, as we are going to see down through the centuries, that has been the case. I want us to consider some of the things that deal with sin in the easy way. And some of the sins that we see in the Bible that I believe can be in some way or another attributed to this easy way of allurement. For example, we see in the very beginning there in Genesis chapter 3 with Eve. I believe one of the reasons that she was tempted by Satan to do something that was wrong was because there was an easy way to gain knowledge and wisdom. In Genesis 3 and 6, we find there that the woman, as she looked at the tree, as she was talking to Satan, that she saw that the fruit was three things. It was good for food, it was pleasant to the eye, and thirdly, there was within it a desire to make an individual wise. Wisdom, knowledge, had to be some kind of an allurement to her in order for her to be tempted this way. She wanted to be wise. She wanted to have the wisdom of God. She wanted to have the knowledge that perhaps God had. And here was an easy way to have it. You know, the way that you and I gain wisdom and knowledge is by study, is by length of life and things that we see. All she had to do was reach up and grab that fruit and take a bite of it, and it would be instant wisdom and knowledge, easy for her. She was tempted in this way. It was something then that was easy for her to gain. She didn't regard what God had said, that he said, don't eat of it. She did it anyway. In Cain and Abel, and what happened to them, I believe once again we might attribute a little bit of this sin to seeking the easy way out. Cain was an individual that didn't offer up the sacrifice that was acceptable in the sight of God. Cain was a farmer. And God had told Cain and Abel what sacrifice they were to make unto him. And it was easy for Cain then not to have to go to Abel and get a sacrifice, get a blood sacrifice. He just simply offered up what he had. He was a farmer. And he offered up those things that he possessed. It was easy for him to do that. And disregard what God had to say. He wanted to do it, again, a simple, effortless way. Something that did not bother him. David, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and the death of Uzzah, the new cart that was built so that the Ark of the Covenant could be brought back to the city of Jerusalem. If you'll remember the story, the Philistines had captured it and finally it had come back into the hands of the nation of Israel. And they were bringing it back to the city of Jerusalem. David decided that he was going to make a new cart for it to carry the ark upon. That was not what God said. God had given instructions that the priests were to bear it upon their shoulders. But this was an easier way. And when the cart hit the threshing floor of Nashon and began to tilt, Uzzah reached up and touched it, and Uzzah was struck dead. An easy way to transport the ark of God. We can also see in the case of Jonah, and I don't know if we can find an any easier way of disobeying God than what Jonah did. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to that city. And it was not going to be a very pleasant task. He didn't know how the people were going to react to what he had to say. So what did he do? He fled in the other direction. He grabbed a ship heading somewhere else to get away from what God had given, that responsibility that God had given unto him. And you know, running from responsibility is always the easy way out. The Jews over in Matthew chapter 15, really what Christ says here concerning them was from Isaiah the prophet. And that was that they had been following the traditions of their fathers from generations on past. And this is something that's always easy to do, isn't it? It doesn't cause me too much problem to just simply follow traditions that are handed down to me that I've learned. It doesn't mean that I can be free of the obligation of going to the Word of God and finding out what He wants me to do and implementing that in my life. These people, in these instances, it didn't matter to them that the easy way was not God's way. It was something that they wanted to do. It was convenient for them. This easy way, this effortless way in which people will worship God, is something that has always been popular in religion. It always has been that way, and it still is today. The prospects of people having to go up to Jerusalem, that is, following God's law, oftentimes becomes too much for them. They simply think that it is too hard. There are far too many who find God's ways difficult for them, that it is too confining for them, too hard, and they're going to do something else. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, and in verse 24, we find Christ telling his disciples there, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, this is plain language here. Christ is giving instructions, commandments, that if you're going to follow him, then one of the things you've got to do is you've got to deny yourself. But man wants to take that out of the commands of God. He wants to take this denying of himself out of the commandments that have been given to us through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In their following Christ, they don't want to deny themselves. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to follow Christ. They want Christ to follow them. They want to be the standard. They want to carry that banner with the Son of God coming along behind them. That's easy for them. Rather than them taking and sacrificing themselves and following Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul there writes by inspiration to Timothy, and he says, in the King James, it uses the word study. The New King James and some of the others says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's the word of God on it. You give diligence in seeking my approval, God is saying. You don't give a half-hearted attempt. You be diligent. You study in this. But man doesn't like that. Man wants to take the studying out. Man wants to take the giving diligence out of seeking God's approval. They want an easy religion. They want their religious leaders to come up and tell them that here's what you need to do. And they have other pursuits that they have. Worldly, material pursuits. And they don't have time to give diligence to the Word of God. They want to make it easy. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 24, we find Christ, as he is speaking there once again to his disciples, talking about the way in which people are to go. He says in Luke 13 and 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. We have a parallel account in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, where we are told there to strive to enter that narrow way that leads to eternal life. Christ here is saying, we've got to work at it. We've got to work to strive to be pleasing in His sight, to enter that narrow way. But man doesn't like that. Man wants to take that striving out of entering the narrow gate. Man wants wants for God just to simply take him when his life is over, after he's lived the way that he wants to, and place him into heaven. Give him a place there. Seems sometimes that man just simply wants the benefits and the blessings of Christ without the sacrifice. And that can't be. They're simply looking for an easy way to worship and to serve God, one that pleases them. And those who seek the easy way, listen, those who seek the easy way, they already have their reward. They've done things their way, and they have nothing to look forward to. This easy way in religion is, again, still popular. We can see it in all kinds of doctrines that people follow. For example, there is a popular doctrine among many denominations that says all you have to have is faith and you are saved. Oh, they might say that your faith is going to cause you to do other things, but salvation comes at the point of your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And they find it too much to look to the Word of God and do the other commandments. They want faith only. They disregard Mark 16 and 16, where Christ says there to believe and be baptized. Those who do that will be saved. They don't think that. They don't believe that. They disregard what Christ had to say in Acts 2 and 38 to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. They disregard what James had to say in 2 and 24 where he says that faith without works is dead. They don't believe it. They believe faith only is going to save them. Why? Because it's easy. It's easy to believe that. It becomes too much. It becomes too difficult to do the other things that God wants them to do. Also, we see it's popular when it comes to attendance. And I'm talking about infrequent attendance. People believe that they can attend once or twice a year. They can come maybe once a month. They might even come once a week. And that's convenient for them. That's easy for them to do that. It's too much for them to do as God says. To be there at every opportunity that they have. it becomes too much. And so it's easy for them to believe that I'll attend whenever I want to. We also find it concerning the Lord's Supper the same way. People have the concept that they can do it once in a lifetime or once a year, or once a month, or whatever it might be. It's too much for them to be present every week as the saints were in Acts 20 and verse 7 to partake of the Lord's Supper. That's too much. That's too much that God has asked of me to do, to be there, to do it at that time. When it comes to the church, also perhaps we might have here the easiest among all the things that people want to do in worship to God. How many of you ever have ever heard attend the church of your choice? I dare say we all have. We've heard that all of our life. What is it? It's an easy way to worship God. You worship God whatever way and in any church that you want to. He's going to be pleased with it. That is something that is easy. Now, we're going to disregard what Christ said in Matthew 16 and 18, where he said, upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't say churches. He said one. We're going to disregard what Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, where he says there's one body. Because that's just simply too much. That's too hard and too difficult. It's too much to think that there is only one church. That Christ only had one church that he built. And if there's one, suppose I don't like it. Suppose I don't like the church that Christ built. What am I going to do? No, that's too hard. That's too difficult. People today expect God to accept anything. He didn't do it with Israel, did he? He didn't do it with the nation of Israel. He punished them for doing it their way. There is also what we would title as righteous living. And perhaps you know some people that are like this. That upon the first day of the week, they're very religious. They're there. They're at church. They're at their particular worship service, whatever it might be. And that's the way that they are one day a week. The rest of the week, you couldn't tell them from a person that's in the world who didn't even believe in God by their language, by their action. It's too much for God to expect of us to be living sacrifices. That is their argument. Missionary societies also have become an easy way of doing things, an easy way of carrying out God's plan. Because, you see, missionary societies are simply saying, you send the money to me and we'll take care of everything else. You don't have to find the person that's in need. You don't have to find that individual that is preaching the gospel to help support them and to make sure that they get the support. You just send it to us and we'll take care of everything else. It's too much, people say, to do it God's way. When it comes to preaching also, we find that so many will preach what people want to hear. Whatever they want to hear, then that's what they're going to hear. Approving anything and everything that comes along. Approving of situation ethics that something might be wrong in this situation, but if you get in another situation, that very same thing may be right, and you go ahead and you can do it. We're not going to regard what God had to say. This again is something that people want. They want an easy religion. God doesn't expect us really to do all the things that he wants us to do. That's the cry. When it comes also to Holy Spirit baptism, some might disagree with me here, but I believe that this belief, this doctrine that a lot of people have concerning the Holy Spirit baptism is one of the most easy ways that people have of worshiping God, because they don't have to do anything. All they have to do is sit back and let God do his part upon them. And then when they are baptized with the Holy Spirit, then there is instant, immediate exception in the sight of God. They're approved by God at that point. And they really didn't do anything at all. It seems, as we discussed last week, that the more subjective one becomes in his religion and can make obedience, the better people like it. The easier we can make a religion, then the more people we're going to have flocking to. This is something, as we can see, that has touched man down through the centuries in his worship to God. It affected the children of Israel. Doing it the easy way, it's too much to go to Jerusalem and do as God says, so you stay here and you worship God. But we find that it is something that has even touched the Lord's church. That we are not immune to it as Christians. Often, too often, we're looking for an easy way out. We find examples of perhaps preachers and teachers who find it too much to prepare adequately for the classes and for the studies that they have. They want to do something easy. We find Bible class students who find it too much and too hard to study adequately and to do the assignments and learning the Word of God that has been given unto them. We find a lot of them who just want kind of easy lessons to study. You know, something that you can read through and maybe have a couple of questions at the end. They want something easy. Something that they don't have to think about. In our society, we find also Christians who find it too much and too hard to leave their television sets, to leave their hobbies, to leave their games at home and go out and study the Word of God with somebody else. To visit the sick. To visit and encourage those who are unfaithful unto God. That's too much for them. It's too hard. They want something easier. It's too much for some to try and teach others the plan of salvation. That's too much. That's too hard. We find also in some instances it's too much, it's too hard and difficult. But finally, after all else has failed, that you have to discipline those who are unfaithful children of God. That's too much and too hard. This easy way that Satan has baited his trap with is very effective. And it has affected many things in the body of Christ. It has affected the teaching program. Because in some instances, more people want to be students than they want to be teachers. We can't find teachers to teach those who are students. Everybody wants to sit back and learn because teaching is hard. It has affected visitation also because people just simply don't have the time for it. We'll let somebody else do that. Evangelism has been affected because we're going to let the preacher, or we're going to let the elders do it. We're going to let somebody else do it because it's too much for us to do that. It has affected the purity of the church also, in that it has brought about a lack of knowledge on the part of those who are children of God. It has affected it in that way because a lack of knowledge allows error to enter in. And then when it enters in, it becomes too hard to purge out. Of all the things that contribute to the weakening of the body of Christ, I am firmly convinced that there is none that is more influential than people looking to do things the easy way, looking to be acceptable in the sight of God without denying themselves, without sacrificing themselves. Things become too hard. And they satisfy their conscience by doing the least that they possibly can get by with. It has affected man all down through the centuries. Jeroboam knew exactly what to offer the children of Israel. Exactly. That was an easy way in worshiping God. He even patterned his way of worship after God's way. He made priests. He set the feast day up on 1 month later rather than on the right month. He just changed it slightly, and the people fell for it. Denominations have learned the same lesson from Jeroboam. Some in the body of Christ have also learned that, and that is, you give people an easy way of doing things, and they'll go for it. They won't regard what God has to say. You just make sure that people are more loyal to you than to God. The narrow way that God has given unto us in some instances can never be easy. It's described as straight. That word straight means difficult. And there's going to be very few that are going to enter that. Man is forever trying to take that narrow way that God has given and make it just as broad as he possibly can. Just as big a highway as he can get people on that. People trying to take shortcuts in obedience unto God. But that becomes man's way, not God's way, and that leads to destruction, not eternal life. God's way is one that leads to eternal life. And Jesus Christ is that way. He says in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. That's the only way that we have to God. If we fall prey for this easy way, thinking that we're going to be acceptable to God by taking shortcuts, by not denying ourselves and not becoming living sacrifices and doing things to please us, then we're going to be fooled. God's not going to be pleased with that. He wasn't pleased with Israel. He punished Israel because of their sins in seeking that easy way to worship him. And other paths may allure us. And Satan may bait it very well. But it is God's way that leads to a heavenly home, and that's the one we've got to follow. Let us make sure that we are on it. If something seems to be too easy in worship to God, if something is where we don't have to deny ourselves, and we're not sacrificing, perhaps we better look at it a little bit closer. Because there is likelihood that it's not God's way. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, perhaps you have been fooled by others and thinking that there's an easy way, that you can continue doing what you want to do. You can plan your own life, live it the way that you want to by any set of morals that you have a desire to set, and you'll be pleasing in the sight of God. That's not the way that it is. There is God's way to heaven, and if you're going to get there, you've got to walk. There's a pathway of righteousness that has been set down by Jesus Christ, and we've got to follow. If you're not a child of God, you've not begun to walk that pathway of righteousness. You've got to surrender yourself unto God, unto Jesus Christ, and be obedient unto his will. If you're not a child of God, then the commandments are very simple and very easy. They are easy in this way. They are easy in the initial steps that you have in faith. Repentance, confession, and baptism. But in that, you are denying yourself. You are surrendering your life unto God to live faithfully under his commands for the remainder of the time that you have here. If you're here and subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?